In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. All you holy angels and saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you may know, tomorrow is normally the feast or the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. This Sunday, of course, we take Advent, but on Monday we celebrate in the church here in Western Australia this wonderful solemnity. So I'd just like to share with you a reflection again from Divine Intimacy on this wonderful feast and something we can learn from it. The Feast of the Immaculate Conception is in fact in perfect harmony with the spirit of Advent. While the soul is preparing for the coming of the baby Jesus, our Redeemer, it is fitting to think of her who was his mother. The very promise of a Savior was joined to, or rather was included in the promise of this peerless virgin. In Genesis 3, we read after God cursed the insidious serpent, he then proclaimed, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head." And behold, the virgin whose coming was foretold approaches, as we say in the liturgy, white as snow, more beautiful than the sun, full of grace and blessed above all women. Precisely in view of this sublime privilege, which would make her the mother of the incarnate Word, Mary, alone among all creatures, was preserved from original sin. Yet, in Mary, Immaculate, we see not only her preservation from original sin and the complete absence of the slightest shadow or imperfection, but we also see the positive side of this mystery, this positive side which made her, from the very first moment of her existence, full of grace, not merely without sin, but full of grace. The theologians, the good ones at least, teach us that the Most Blessed Virgin Mary began her spiritual life with grace much more abundant and perfect than that which the greatest saints have acquired at the very end of their lives. When we consider also that during her whole life, Our Lady corresponded to every movement of grace in her soul, to every invitation from God, we can see and understand how charity and grace increased in her with rapid progress, making her the holiest of creatures, the one most completely united to God and transformed in Him. So yes, Our Lady grew in grace. She was always full of grace, but her capacity grew. Just like, you know, the old analogy, have a small glass of water, full of water, and that glass suddenly has the capacity to hold 10,000 liters, yet still full of water, you know? That's how Our Lady grew in that sense. St. John of the Cross, in describing the marvels of the state of perfect union with God, presents Our Lady as the prototype or the model. He says, "Such were those works and prayers of the Most Glorious Virgin Our Lady, who being raised to this highest state of union from the beginning, never had the form of any creature imprinted in her soul, and neither was she moved by such, but was invariably guided by the Holy Spirit." Our Lady was always guided by the Holy Spirit, and from the very first moment was perfectly united to God. The two essential conditions for achieving divine union, or union with God, are found completely in Mary. The first condition, which is a negative one, is that there be nothing in our soul which is contrary to what God wants. Very difficult. That is, no attachment which would cause us to submit to any creature so that that creature ruled in our heart, or, you know, impelled us to act for love of this creature alone, that compromised in some way our love for God. No attachment. And such, you know, we know these attachments must be eliminated. No, so this is an essential condition for union with God. We can't have what is contrary in our heart to what God wants. We can't have this attachment to creatures where we'd rather please somebody instead of being faithful to God, whatever it may be. So the second condition for achieving divine union, which we find also completely fulfilled in Mary, is a positive thing, a constructive thing. It is that the human will, you know, our capacity to decide and to choose, be moved in all and through all only by God's will. So whatever I decide, I only decide because this is what God wants. Not merely what God prohibits, as in avoiding sin, but when God says love one another, or, you know, act justly, walk humbly, these such things. So her heart was completely moved to do only what God wanted. Her will was absorbed with doing the will of God. And this was realized so perfectly in the soul of Our Lady, Mary Immaculate, that she never had even the slightest shadow of an attachment to a creature. She was completely seized by divine love and would only act under the inspiration and movement of the Holy Spirit, her divine spouse. So we see in Mary, as the pure spouse of the Holy Spirit, this wonderful fullness of grace, this wonderful absence of sin, this wonderful condition that makes her, as I think it was Gerald Manley Hopkins said, our tainted nature's solitary boast. Our tainted nature's solitary boast. So of all that is in this world, of all those who have fallen short of God's glory, all those who are tainted in the world, there still remains one who is perfect, one who we can truly boast about, as it were, and that is Mary Immaculate. And she is our dear mother. She is our guide. She is our refuge. And tomorrow, or Monday, as we celebrate this wonderful solemnity, let us strive to put an end to sin in our lives. And, of course, to put up a good fight when tempted. Because we'll all be tempted pretty much for the rest of our lives. No? That's part of our fallen condition. But what we need to do is always put up a good fight. You know? Always put up a good fight. And not to give in so easily to sin. And not to be discouraged or to despair, but to go to confession. And then, of course, to imitate Our Lady in her absolute love for what God wants. To find out what God wants in your life, if you don't know. And then just do it. And if God wants you to work on your charity and your kindness or your gratitude or your, you know, devotion, then work on it. Show your love for God, like Our Lady. And you will have that peace of soul. You'll have that joy of life that nothing in this world can give. I can tell you, your life will probably be a lot more boring than what you see on television or whatever it may be. But it will be a life of complete peace, of complete joy, of fulfillment. You won't have the fireworks every day, but you will have that calmness of soul which not even $1 million could ever buy, because it is a gift from God, a gift that comes from union with God. And that is the most precious thing that we need to have, and that comes from fidelity to the Lord. So let us pray for one another, brothers and sisters, and ask Our Lady to pray for us as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.